Hey, Brain Basement, everyone out there. Welcome to another episode. Today is kind of a follow-up to last week where Angie interviewed me. Now I get to interview Angie about what she's up to lately and kind of this whole idea of exploring purpose as we live overseas and move from place to place. So before we get started, we'll have Angie start us with a few breaths.
Great. Welcome, everybody. Just to take this moment while you're listening to us, while you've tuned in for connection, taking this moment to settle into your body and wherever you are in your day or evening, checking in with your shoulders, just a little muscle scan. Kind of checking in with your breath, seeing if you can bring softness anywhere in your body that's holding tension. Just with your mind, by bringing that awareness there, checking in with your knees and your wrists, noticing your joints in this moment. Slowing down your breath, finding that steady rhythm, checking in with the muscles in your face and your jaw, and allowing that little wash of relaxation and presence to settle around your body. And then gently opening your eyes if you've had them closed. Returning to this point and ready to talk about finding purpose.
Yeah, I'm so excited. So, because I've had these just, I'm excited to interview you. And just as kind of a recap to last week, Angie was asking me questions about how I kind of found a sense of purpose in every place that we lived and how that's changed and evolved over time and what I'm up to now. So maybe we can just start there. What's going on with you right now? I know you kind of have a new shift in career stuff, and I'd love to hear more about it.
Yeah, it's really funny because I do think like living the Foreign Service life does offer us that opportunity to just reinvent ourselves, to examine where we are and what we're doing and how we're spending our time. So right now, what I'm doing is taking a life coach certification course. That's a pretty intense course. So I know there are a lot of versions of life coaching certification, and you can do that on a weekend, or you can take a, 10-hour course. And this is a long-term 6-month, pretty, like, I call it like a big deal course. So it was a big investment of money, a lot of time, I'm putting a lot of effort into this. And it's interesting to me that I'm here and finding this purpose that is really driving me to a lot of action and focus in my life and my goals, because I would not have pictured myself doing this 10 years ago when, or 5 years ago, even probably. So it's interesting to look back and see what purpose I have found myself, moving towards as things develop, and recognizing that it's unpredictable, that I don't know what's coming next or what will come out of that.
Yeah, that's interesting. So tell me how you came to this idea to do life coaching, and like, maybe you can rewind back a few years, like what was purposeful to you, 10 years ago, or what kind of events or situations kind of, do you feel led you to life coaching?
Yeah. That's a good question. So I think looking back, I got my degree in counseling in 1999, right before we got married, and worked as a counselor with mentally ill adults, like in inner city Chicago. And that, so my days then looked like driving a 15-passenger van around with a group of kind of, I don't know if it's offensive to say, like a motley crew of, I mean, there was just this crew of probably 12 to 15 adults from every different, you know, all wearing kind of different clothes. We kind of stood out. People had Tourette's and were calling out and speaking out and sort of hearing voices and maybe wearing a tinfoil hat and taking everyone bowling or grocery shopping, which made for really fun days and interesting connections. And we were working to get everyone at moving towards independent living. So that was a unique situation, living in kind of a home where we were working towards getting everyone their own apartment and supporting them in independent living. And I loved doing that. And so that was a lot of, you know, focus on mental illness and awareness of that. And then living overseas, my life much more took the direction of focusing on my kids and, you know, just raising them. And it was just the day-to-day tasks really did take up my focus, energy, attention for a while, homeschooling, certainly. And just the time and energy it takes to like create your life, right? To make friends, to figure out how to grocery shop in a new place. It was like daily tasks became my job because that was a whole nother level of like research and, you know, like it was like experimentation of what works and what doesn't and how to live in this new situation. So that feels like that took up many years of focusing on that. And then working as a counselor in different locations became very rewarding for me, just having one or two clients that I was talking to about their life and having that some feedback of someone saying to me, this is useful, or this, what, I'm so glad I could talk to you as a counselor. This was really helpful to me because I wasn't getting that feedback from my life with making grilled cheese for my kids. I didn't get a lot of feedback saying, Mom, this was useful and nourishing for me. And I appreciate you, you know, doing the laundry. So then I realized that that sense of purpose, you know, what did feel very nourishing to me, and that I did want to spend more time focusing on something that I was driven to do, that I felt had use and application to the wider world outside my family. But that didn't happen at first. I was very invested in just raising my four children. I wasn't looking at the outside world at all. And that felt really nourishing to me at that point. And then as my kids got older, I opened up a window where I could see that other things in my life could be purposeful and useful. And then I thought, as a counselor, I didn't ever think of that I would need a life coaching certification, or that could be useful to me, because I could learn that information and integrate it when necessary, when a client was looking for more direction and coaching more than listening and processing, that I think of the work of counseling. But I think when I really, it was in Azerbaijan when you and I were together and we were talking. So it really was like that became more and more useful. And I was using more of those coaching practices with my clients And I did have that opportunity to like, what if I put up a website and just started actually letting people know that I'm a counselor rather than it being a secret thing that people reach out to me here and there when they find out I'm a counselor. And then since then, so much has, it's like been a snowball in my life of just that intention, but now the creating other connections with other programs that are offering similar support, like for foreign service community, that things have developed just from that. So it was a commitment of time. It was a little scary for me to, and money to invest in this and to kind of tell my husband, this is something I want to do just to, you know, try on that new process of really committing to something, which seems hard when we're moving. You know, there were so many ways I could tell myself, I need to wait for a time when we're staying in one place for 1 year. I need to wait for, you know, X, Y, and Z to happen for this to work, but for it not to be a pandemic.
Yeah. So many ways to just talk yourself out of it. I find that in my life too.
And I like, for me, I need that commitment. I like having the commitment there. I like having the deadlines. I like having the coursework that is not self-paced, that, you know, there are expectations out there for me. And that does help me just keep moving forward.
Yeah. Oh, I love hearing that and diving back into, I mean, where you started in the 15-passenger van. I think that's so cool. And I love what you said about the time, you know, with your kids being really nourishing for you, and that it felt purposeful to you. Mm-hmm. I definitely resonate with that. And I think interesting that even though we might not get that same feedback from our kids that we would get from a client, there are ways to apply this work, you know, that we're interested in being a mom and being a spouse and managing an overseas life. Like you said, there's so much involved in all of that. And I think I'm just glad that you kind of made that point, because it's a legitimate space of time where we're developing ourselves and skills, really.
Yeah, I think it really is like work. It's so much work. And to think of it as I'm not working right now, or to say those words, it just sounds ridiculous. Or to have the idea that other people have a perception that I'm not working when you have, you know, this, even without kids, when you just have this situation where you're moving to a new place and you don't know the routes, you don't know how to get a taxi, you don't maybe have a car. Like, there's so much work involved in setting up in a new space, or preparing for your next space, or organizing the mover, you know, setting up your medical appointments. It's work. So I think just honoring that and like realizing I'm working really hard right now, and I do have a job for everyone who's in that space.
Totally. And viewing it as like a building block, like a stepping stone to the next phase, not just a gap of empty space. Yes. I often, you know, have definitely thought of it like that at points where it's like spinning my wheels type of idea, where it's really like, it's a great, can be a stepping stone to, the next phase.
Yeah. And there's actually so much learning happening there, right? Like that, I think of my years in college and my classes and what I learned there versus what I learned living my life when I wasn't in college, and what I've learned from raising my kids. And that's really like, I have so much more value and insight, I think, to offer to my clients, having had my life experience, or especially if we're working with EFMs or foreign service community, being able to know and understand that rather than them talking to someone who hasn't experienced that. I think it brings more of a professional understanding when you can.
Yeah. Yeah. I absolutely agree. It's the application of it all, right?
Yeah.
There have been points lately. I mean, my kids are still young, but having four of them and doing this for the last 10 years, there have been points in my day where I've thought, or even preparing for this move, where I've thought, okay, I got this. Like, I know the steps to take. And that feels so good to be able to say that. Not that it's going to look neat or tidy. It's not. It's going to be totally messy for the next few months. And I'm going to, you know, turn into my regular crazy person. But I don't know. I think we can, give ourselves some grace and compassion for how good we've become at certain things that were not second nature when we started this life. And to be able to relate that to other people, EFMs and expats, it's valuable because, we've lived it. And it's not just in theory somewhere, it's in practice. And so I like that.
And what you said about and knowing that it's going to be messy and I'm going to be crazy, that's part of the learning too, right? Because we're dropping that expectation that I'm sure 10 years ago, I thought by the seventh move, I'll have it all figured out and it will all go smoothly. But half of it, the ease of it is just recognizing things won't go smoothly. I will probably, run around like a chicken with, I will probably panic at some point. I will probably snap at everyone and feel stress at some point. And I know that's going to happen and we'll get through it. And
yeah, definitely there. I feel like every time we move, my husband and I have the conversation all right, the next 6 months, we might not love each other all the time, but our marriage has survived, however many moves, and we can push through this. Cause I think the first view was just such a shock to the system, mm-hmm. but to be able to look back and say, it's only temporary. And we pulled through it the first time and second time and third time, and let's try it again. And
that's so right. I'm thinking back to the military. When we were in the military, they would have these trainings all the time where they would tell us how you fight before deployment, because then it's easier for your spouse to go off on the ship and be gone for a long time, and how these patterns happen in your marriage when you're experiencing all of this. And I haven't seen as much of that in the Foreign Service, or maybe it's there, but coming from the military, I felt like, okay, I've had enough training on this. And so we all know what to expect.
Totally. It's just part of the life. Mm-hmm. And we can relate that to other people because it's real for all of us. So what I'm curious about, kind of circling back to life coaching and your certification, since you do have the background of a counselor, what do you feel that life coaching is giving you that maybe counseling didn't? Or is it just kind of another step on that same path?
Oh, this is funny because I thought of it, I thought this was going to be another step on the path. Like this would add to my counseling work and background and trainings that I've had over the years, that I would add this life coaching to my counseling. And what I'm finding is it's almost like the opposite. I feel like I'm untraining all of the things that I have learned as a counselor. Is a lot of reflective listening and a lot of validating. So the life coaching really is different. And people ask me this all the time, what's the difference? And life coaching is much more directive. Instead of listening to you, I'm stopping you to interrupt you. Hey, let's look at what you just said right there, which is not what I would do as a counselor. As a counselor, I'm just letting you, go through your thoughts and tell me what's happening and explain. And as a life coach, I'm like, stop, let's look at this and let's like find, uncover what it means to you, why you're telling yourself this or where this thought came to you. What, and then instead of diving deep into how that thought was created, it's much more like, okay, if that's what's happening in your life right now, what do you want to do about it? Mm-hmm. So it's certainly not me directing anyone like, okay, in this situation, you should divorce your husband or you should stay with your husband or you need to treat your kids this way. I'm never making the decision, of course, but I'm really asking, what do you want to do about this right now? And if anyone's answering, I don't know, I'm not sure, I just need to think about it more, it's much more directive, like, no, let's decide which direction do you want to go in? So for me, it's been kind of fascinating to learn something so different from counseling when I expected that it would be very similar. And it's fun with my clients to be able to look at and see who is ready for me, who really wants that space of listening and support and just working through their own ideas, and who is thinking like, I'm tired of feeling this. I want something different. Like, I'm ready for a change. And which clients want each system, want coaching or want counseling.
Yeah. And that's so good to hear the difference, because I think for someone that doesn't really know what a life coach does, it would be easy to lump them in with counseling and therapy, which often have that stereotype of going and diving into the past and talking about it and rehashing through it until we kind of come to some idea that something might have caused something. But I like that there's space for both, mm-hmm. you know, coaching and, you know, therapy, of course. And I've had a therapist and a life coach, and I love that life coaching, yeah, like you said, takes you where you're at and kind of helps you propel you forward. And what do you think is the difference in like the client's life with the different approaches? Like, what have you seen with this idea of you are more directive and you're kind of trying to propel them to the next step versus just that reflective listening? And like, do you see a difference?
I think that there's definitely value in both. Like, I would not say that everyone should always do life coaching or everyone should definitely do counseling. But I think what I do think is that every one of us should have a counselor or a life coach. Every person should have some objective listening space where you don't feel judgment, where they're not going to bring up their own history and background and opinion and one or the other. But I do see that life coaching, and this is why I was drawn to take this certification course and I just really wanted to commit to it. I have seen such impactful changes happen quickly mm-hmm. for people and friends and clients that are talking to a life coach more than the more long-term shift that might happen when talking to a counselor.
Yeah.
So definitely benefits to both, but I really like life coaching because it's like a newer, you know, occupation and people aren't as familiar with it. I think it might have the like stereotype of being kind of, I don't know, light or like froofy or woo-woo or who knows what that is, but mm-hmm. seeing the effects, the impacts in real life situation being so effective, it's really powerful stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really neat. And I get what you're saying about just that there's a stigma attached to it. And, you know, it extends into other similar professions. Like even, you know, me as a mindfulness teacher, it's like you said at the beginning, there's trainings you can do in a weekend. There's, and then you come out and you can call yourself, you know, a certified teacher. And so I think because it's their unregulated fields, there's there's a reason that there's these stigmas are attached, but just having personal experience with a life coach that was well trained and, you know, actually went to the same school that you're going to, I think I'm just so glad that there's a space for it now, even though it's newer and kind of growing. I think it's needed, and you can find really good life coaches out there that have a lot of training mm-hmm. and are very professional and
good mindfulness coaches, right? Who like you look for the serious program, like anyone I think who's investigating, following their passion, right? Now there are so many options available to us to take courses online that I'm sure weren't available to people living the Foreign Service life, and opportunities to just continue with your clients or, you know, to operate a business overseas. And now like really finding the program that is the right fit for you, or trying the 3-day course. And if you like it, going deeper, you know.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's such a benefit to those of us that do move from country to country, because there's a lot of therapists that cannot practice overseas, you know, and they have all this education and years of work experience, and they move overseas. And that's a struggle because there's regulations around that. And so I think some of these other, I can just speak for our, you know, the tracks that we're on, life coaching and mindfulness coaching. It's valuable to me because it's very portable and yeah.
Exactly.
So do you know who you want to work with, or who are you currently working with? Is there a certain population, or are you?
So I've been working with parents and teens, which I love, which is kind of funny because my teens are just like, "Mom, you're making all kinds of mistakes. How can you be telling others what to do?" Which is also awesome because I'm not telling anyone what to do, right? Like I'm really just listening to everybody from a point of like, "Yep, I get it. I have also lost my temper. I've also, you know, had doors slammed in my face and by my teenager." So I feel like I can offer that point of listening, but also, I mean, I love talking to everyone. if mm-hmm. a client reaches out to me, you know, or someone has recommended me to someone else and they're not in the parent teen category, or they want to talk about their marriage, you know, those, I also love those clients, and talking about that. And now, of course, I'm with another group for the Foreign Service, community, and that is near and dear to my heart. So it is kind of evolving just in unexpected places and connections, which is also part of the fun of following your passion, right? Like, I think this is kind of off topic, but there's this one woman, I like paper mache, like, you know, third grade dipping torn up newspapers in glue and putting it around a balloon. And there's this like woman on YouTube who's like an older woman who has videos that she has no idea really. She's like, "Did I press play? Is this recording?" But she makes the most beautiful paper mache pieces of art. And so I think it's like, just once you follow that passion, and then people can connect to your own experiences, and then somehow things just, other connections come into your life, and it just evolves into this skill that you have being useful to other people and your opportunity to share it.
Yeah, I like that. And I bumped into a lady too that's also a YouTuber this last week, and she does rock art, and she uses rocks to tell stories, and she does like these stop motion videos of, she's religious and Christian. So she does Bible stories and they're all sped up and you're watching like the nativity. And
what? Like how? I don't even understand. How are the rocks doing a move? Like, does she paint faces on the rock?
No, like she gets different sizes of rocks and, you know, cleans them off and has this black kind of background slate table. And then she just positions the rocks in the shape of someone's body or like,
Oh, okay. Head
or yeah. So she's making the bodies with the rocks or a bed or anyway, it's beautiful. And I never would have thought to make art with rocks, but kind of to your point, you know, for someone that might be asking themselves, I don't even know what my purpose is. I think what you were saying is true, that we all just have passions inside of us, and to ask, kind of explore those passions and ask, you know, oneself, what do I love doing or what brings joy to me? And and let that kind of be something that leads the way.
Yeah. And recognizing that there's value in that, right? Because I see other people who like belittle their, like, I'll walk into their house and they have plants everywhere and their garden is beautiful. And I so admire that because I don't have that skill. And if they did offer, you know, a class, or if even if they just had me over for that afternoon and like showed me a little bit about how to plant something or keep a plant alive, I would be so into like being a participant in that class or learning about gardening. And it's like everyone has these unique talents, as you always know when you meet someone new and find out what they are interested in. And it's just recognizing that we have the ability to share that, to put something out into the world. And it's a little scary to just decide to create your YouTube channel.
Yeah. But, or even go out on Instagram. Sometimes that's really scary. But just knowing that there's
create a podcast. That's
by the way. And have the internet guy. And
yes, literally, this is one of my passions. And you and I talked for a while, like, oh, we should have a podcast. And then somehow one day we just like hit record on one of our conversations. And now we're 23 episodes. And then we didn't tell anyone. We were listing these, you know, on the internet somewhere. I still haven't told very many people. And now we have like 25 episodes or something.
Yeah. Well, and I just realized we've been on Spotify for the last 6 months and I didn't even know.
We accidentally published ourselves on Spotify. So.
Yes, but it is a passion just even to have these chats, and maybe they're useful to someone else out there exploring their own passions and purpose. Thanks. Great chat. Do you have anything else you want to add? Is there anything in particular about life coaching that is just so like that you're just very passionate about, or that you're,
I don't know. I'm in this space where I'm like, this is really hard. Okay. Like if this is a whole new skill set that I thought I was going to be able to like ace, and I'm getting ready to fail my first practicum next week. Our teacher just informed us, like most everyone, 99% of people fail the first practicum. So,
oh wow, that's just a vote of confidence. Exactly. You're like, can someone coach me as I prepare to coach?
Yes, yeah, exactly. We all need to like process our fear of coaching now. Yeah. Yeah, but that's all. Thank you for the questions. It's been fun to chat about this.
Yeah. Thanks for being honest and open. I can totally resonate with all the fears that are behind, you know, putting yourself out there. And I think it's just part of the process. And so
yeah,
being real about it all.
If we have any listeners, we can ask them to like send us what their passion is.
Yes. That's the greatest. That's why we have two of us on this podcast, because it's more fun when there's more than one person and to hear other people tell us what they're passionate about and how they're carrying it around the world.
And we can interview them about their passion, making a thread in the Philippines.
Mm-hmm. So if you're listening and you have a passion that you want to share on Brain Basement, this is your invitation. And go follow us on Instagram and I'll ask you what your passion is and you can type it there.
What's our Instagram account?
It's Brain Basement Podcast. Cool. I think we have 4 followers and it's you and me and then our best friends.
Oh, great. Hopefully all 4 of us will reply to that.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Angie.
See you next week.
Bye.